אבל בפרשת פרשת בשלח, של פייג' 366-367. פרשת בשלח, follows the story of coming out of Egypt that is discussed in the previous class. So the Jewish people are already out of Egypt. That's where the parasha speaks. The 10th plague, the killing of the firstborn that caused Pharaoh to send the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, took place already last week. And we are this week in what's taking place after. This Shabbat, where Parashat Veshalach is read, has a special name. It's called Parashat Shira, the portion of the song, referring to the Song of the Red Sea. It was a very special moment in Jewish history. We won't discuss the song today much, but we'll discuss the events that led to it. So I want to read the first few psukim in the parasha, raise a few questions, and see where it leads us. So we'll start with the English, but we'll go back to the Hebrew soon. Page 367, the top of the page, verse number 17. It happened when Pharaoh sent out the people that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistim, because it was near, for God said, perhaps the people will reconsider when they see a war, and they will return to Egypt. So they're already out of Mitzrayim, and the Torah tells us it was when Pharaoh sent them already, while he was sending them out of Egypt. And on this term, Pharaoh sent them, commentary asks, was Pharaoh the one to send them? Who sent them out of Egypt? Technically speaking, yes, Pharaoh ran after Moshe and Aaron at night and said, leave. But who brought it about? Of course, Hashem. So why is it said, Vayi b'shalach Pharaoh, Pharaoh sent them away? Then we have to go to the Hebrew. It happened when, in Hebrew, is Vayehi. There are two ways to say it happened when. One is Vayehi, and the other one is Vehaya. And our searches tell us, whenever it's written Vayehi, it's a sad occasion. Whenever it's written Vehaya, it's a happy occasion. So after 210 years of very hard time in Egypt, the Jewish people are out finally. Why is it written Vayehi? What's said about it? It should have been Vehaya. It's a great moment of happiness. So that's the second question here. So we have two questions. Who sent them away? Paro or Hashem? Why is it written that Paro sent them away? And second, why is it written Vayehi, a language of sadness, instead of Vehaya, a language of happiness? Let's go further. Hashem did not let them through the land of Plishtim, what is today the Gaza Strip, because it's very near Egypt. To cross from Egypt to the land of Israel via the place of Plishtim, the land of Plishtim is a very short journey. And we would have said, good, it's a short journey. Finally, and quickly, they will get to the land of Israel, which is their final destination, right? But Hashem says, no, it won't be good. Why? Because if they will see a war, they'll say, let's go back to Egypt, and they will go back to Egypt. That's also very difficult to understand. Why would the Jewish people go back to Egypt? What's going on here? They just came out. And after such difficulties, would they want to go back to Egypt? Okay, so Hashem turns them around. Let's go to the next pasuk. Yotchet 18. So God turned the people towards the way of the wilderness to the Sea of Reeds. The children of Israel were armed when they went up from Egypt. Moses took the bones of Yosef with him, for he had firmly adjured the children of Israel, saying, God will surely remember you, and you shall bring up my bones from here with you. Okay, it's important. They promised Yosef to bring up the bones of Yosef, right? So Moshe did it, but why is it important to tell it to us? And exactly here, Right? So that's another question that we have to understand. Okay? And we'll go further. They journeyed from Sukkot and encamped in Etam at the edge of the wilderness. Hashem went before them by the day in a pillar of cloud to lead them on the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel day and night. So obviously it's important if they travel day and night. Obviously Hashem wants to bring them somewhere quickly. But interestingly enough, not to the land of Israel, but he turns them around and they are going towards the Yamsuf, towards the Red Sea. He did not remove the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night from before the people. So we asked a few questions already, and I want to go a little further and ask one more before we go to the explanation. Next page, 369, top of the page. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and let them turn back and encamp before Pi Hachirot. Very interesting. They just came out of Egypt. Hashem tells Moshe, tell them to go backwards. And where will they encamp? In front of the only God that did not melt it or got rotten at the night of Pesach, at the night that the Jewish people came out of Egypt. All the gods of Egypt did not survive the night of Pesach. But Pi Hacherut, this place that they are returning back to, which is out of Egypt, but very close by, still remained intact. And Hashem tells them to go backwards and encamp them. If Hashem wanted them to encamp there, he could have done it right away, on the way out of Egypt. But he let them go further and then told them to go back. But also, needs an explanation. And he said, for all will say of the children of Israel, they are imprisoned in the land, the wilderness has locked them in. Meaning the purpose of telling them to go backwards is that Pharaoh will feel that they're lost, that something is wrong with them, and that's definitely an opportunity for him. I shall strengthen the heart of Pharaoh, Hashem says, and he will pursue them. So that's what Hashem wants. They just came out of Egypt. Hashem wants them again to face Pharaoh, okay? And I will be glorified through Pharaoh and his entire army. And Egypt will know that I am Hashem, and so they did. So it's very difficult to understand, but the Jewish people follow without questions. They go backwards, they say, if Moshe says, we are following, they went backwards. And sure enough, right after, Pharaoh is running after them, and as we know, they ended up when the Red Sea is in front of them and they can't go further, you know, moving forward. And Pharaoh is behind them, so they cannot go backwards. They are between the two. And on the two sides, our sages tell us in the Midrash, there were wild animals, so they couldn't go to the side as well. So they are locked in, basically. And that's where Hashem wanted them to be. And that's very bewildering. What's going on there? We'll see later on what it caused, right? But before we go there, let's start to answer questions before we ask more. Before we ask more, okay? So what's taking place here? What's said here? Why is Pharaoh sending them? Why are they going backwards? Why is it mentioned that Yosef, the bonds, are going with them? It's clear that Hashem wants them to be locked up, not to get to the land of Israel at that point, to go to Yam Suf, and what happened there, we all know. You know, to answer these questions, we have to go a little backwards. I want you to open page 301, please. In 301, it's the beginning of the redemption. That's when Hashem reveals himself. It's chapter, the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3 is when Hashem speaks to Moshe about the fact that he's going to redeem the Jewish people. Before Hashem reveals himself to Moshe, the Torah tells us what took place that caused the redemption at this point. So I want to read verse number 23. Okay, 23. During these many days, it happened that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the work, and they cried out. Rashi brings that he didn't die practically, he just had tzaraat, and he thought that in order to cure himself from tzaraat, he has to wash himself with blood. So he killed Jewish children, and with their blood, he smeared his skin, thinking that this will cure him. So obviously, this was a terrible reality. So the Jewish people are crying to Hashem. Okay, so what's Hashem's reaction? 24. God heard their mourning, meaning there is a recognition that the situation is very, very difficult. But then the Torah adds something else. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the children of Israel and God knew. Obviously, God saw the children of Israel all along and knew all along. Rashi explains he paid attention to it now, meaning he was going to act upon what he saw and what he knew. And what caused it? A, the difficulties that the Jewish people were at, it reached a peak that was very painful, and it caused the Jewish people to return to God, right? To turn to God, to sigh, right? To mourn. And also, Hashem remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know that already in the covenant with Abraham, Hashem said, your children will be in exile for that amount of time, 400 years, but then they will come out, and I'll bring them to the land of Israel, and I'll judge the Egyptians, the people. He didn't mention which nation. I'll judge the nations that will persecute them. So there is a promise, and Hashem remembers this as well. And then Hashem tells Moshe, go to the Jewish people, tell them redemption is coming, and so on and so on. So if we want to see at this stage what's taking place, the situation is hard, and Hashem remembers the covenant with Abraham that was repeated later on to Yitzchak and repeated later on to Yaakov. What means it's a very strong covenant. Time and again, Hashem promises it, and obviously he fulfills what he promises, he has to do it, right? So why does Hashem have to remember the covenant with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? We all know that when the Jewish people were in Egypt, they were in 49 gates of impurity. They did not deserve yet to come out of Egypt. And even though Hashem said they will be there for 400 years, there was no time to wait. It was 210 years after they arrived, but Hashem saw that if they will stay further, they will enter the 50th gate of impurity, and from there is no way out. So he took them out. He decided it's time to take them out before the time, before the destined time. And really, the job that had to be accomplished in Mitzrayim was not finished. And we are still working on it till today. Okay. So basically, who took them out of Egypt? Hashem. Why did he take them out earlier? Can't Hashem do it that after they enter the 50th gate of impurity, they will be able to come out? He can do anything and everything. So what's this saying of our sages? If they would have entered another gate of impurity, it would have been too late. Hashem can do anything, right? So that's another thing that we have to understand. But that's what's taking place. Okay, later on, if you go further, Moshe speaks to the Jewish people. And if you look at page 305, when he approaches them and tells them about the redemption, he says in verse number 15, okay, God said further to Moses, so shall you say to the children of Israel, Hashem, the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has dispatched me to you. Okay. And then he tells them, go and redeem. If you look later on, okay, verse number 16. Okay, Hashem says, go and gather the elders of Israel and say to them, Hashem, the God of your forefathers, has appeared to me, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, saying, I have surely remembered you and what is done to you. That's one thing that we said before, right? The fact that the situation became very difficult in Egypt. And I have said, I shall bring you up of affliction, right, from the land of Egypt, and so on. Okay, so Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov are also mentioned to the Jewish people, right, in connection to the redemption. Now, to find something very bewildering that seems to contradict what's written here, what we just said, that Hashem remembered the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, that had to be fulfilled. We know that when the Jewish people, they're about to say Shira, to say the song after the splitting of the Red Sea. The angels, our sages tell us, said to Hashem, how is it that the Jewish people are going to say a song? Right? Hashem said, the work of my hands, the Egyptians, are drowning. And they are going to say Shira, they are singing a song. And our sages explain that the Jewish people were at the time judged because the Satan came in front of Hashem and said, why do you make the Egyptians drown in the ocean, in the sea? Because they are wicked, they worship idols, they are wicked people. Didn't the Jewish people worship idols in Egypt too? They were immersed in 49 eighths of impurity. Why are those supposed to be redeemed and they not? Now, what does it mean? Hashem promised to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Let's say in judgment, the Jewish people really are not worthy of it. They are not better than the Egyptians. They worship idols, they don't worship idols. Is there room altogether to judge them after the covenant? How do we understand this? Right? So all that is taking place here is very, very difficult to understand. Surely, if Hashem told Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov that the Jewish people will be redeemed, they will be redeemed. A covenant means a promise of Hashem that cannot be nullified. Sometimes Hashem says something that will happen in the future, and it can be nullified under certain circumstances, but not a covenant. When there is a covenant that is made, and especially when the covenant is made with something symbolic, like the animals that were cut into half in the covenant between Hashem and Abraham, it means it cannot be nullified, it must come true. Right? So, there is no way that the Jewish people would have stayed in Egypt. And that's why, even though they were in 49 gates of impurity, Hashem came down to Egypt and took them out. Now, he could have done it after 400 years. He did it after 210 years, before they entered the 50th gate of impurity, as we said before. What's the difference and why? If we go back to the beginning of our big portion, page 367, to the first pasuk that we mentioned already, it happened when Paro sent out the people of that God sent out the people. It's Paro who sent them. We don't speak about just the fact that Paro as a person sent them, came out and said, go, right? But when they came out of Egypt, Paro came with them. He was like sending them, walking out and telling them, go. He's like with them when they come out, meaning they are not yet on the level that they are supposed to be. You look at them, some of Paro is with them. Hashem took them out before the time. They are not ready. So basically, it was an act of kindness. Hashem promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He's bound to his covenant. He takes him out. But this is not a good reality. This is said. Why? Something that is done fully and completely by Hashem and saves the Jewish people without them having a merit is a salvation for the time being, is a one-time salvation. If Hashem would have taken out the Jewish people just by himself, and it would continue like this, that based on the promise, Hashem is doing the job, even though they did not fulfill their part in it, they would have been saved. But it would have been Hashem's accomplishment. And that's why coming out of Egypt would not be for all generations, physically speaking, yet. Yes, of course. Right? The Jewish people are out of Egypt, and we are out of Egypt. But if we speak about the fact that in every generation, we have to come out of Egypt, that's what we say in the Haggadah of Pesach. In every generation, everybody must see himself as if he comes out now of Egypt, meaning the redemption of them has to be a redemption for generations. And being that we are not in Egypt physically now, we are not speaking about a physical redemption. Because the redemption of Egypt, what is famous and known, was a redemption on two levels, a physical redemption and a spiritual redemption. The physical redemption was a one-time thing. They were in Egypt, they were slaves, they came out, they were free, physically speaking. But there was there a redemption on a spiritual level that we can tune into and are obligated to tune into every Pesach night, and in fact every day, because the Torah obligates us to remember coming out of Egypt every day. And that's why the third paragraph that we say after Shema Yisrael in the morning prayer speaks about, and in the evening prayer, right? Discusses coming out of Egypt because it's an obligation to remember it. What means it takes place now. So every day we have to come out of Egypt. So what has to take place here is that the Jewish people will merit the redemption. It could have not happened in Egypt itself because they were so close to being totally cut off spiritually that if they would have stayed there, they would have not been able to be partners in doing it. Because when a human being enters the 50th gate of impurity, he cannot do it on his own anymore. Can Hashem take him out? Yes, Hashem can do anything. But does Hashem want to do for us the spiritual work? Or he wants us to get the opportunity to do the spiritual work and in this way connect to him, which is the purpose of our creation. If Hashem accomplishes everything, we are in a reality of angels. Angels are perfect. Basically, it's the work of Hashem. They don't do anything in order to perfect themselves. But creation was not made for them. It was made for us. Because the purpose of creation is that we will achieve, that we will come back to Hashem. Hashem, before we are created, has our souls under his throne, so to speak, meaning they are coming from above to this world. And now we have to come back to be under his throne by our own work. And whatever we achieve via our own work is eternal. Even today, if we put hard work to achieve something, it cannot be taken away from us. It doesn't mean we cannot go down again. We could, but it has to be our choice. Only if we choose so. Nobody can take away from us something that we achieved via hard work. This is ours forever. So Hashem wanted the coming of Egypt to be part of the essence of the Jewish people. And willst du nicht sagen, what it is exactly? Right? So what did Hashem do? It had a few stages. He had to take them out by himself, no choice. But before he took them out, if you look at chapter 12, last week's portion, okay, which is on page 349. We are here between the ninth and the tenth plague, meaning coming out of Egypt did not happen yet. Moshe just warned Pharaoh that it's coming, but it didn't happen yet. Before the Torah discusses the tenth plague, the Torah tells us something that happened in between. And we mentioned it last week. Hashem spoke to Moshe, told them to tell the Jewish people to prepare to take a seh, to take an animal, bound it to their beds for 4 days, check that it is with no blemish, and to offer it on the evening before coming out of Egypt. The same day, but before nightfall, right? And later on in the day, at midnight, the Jewish people will come out of Egypt. As we all know, this was a very big act of commitment from the side of the Jewish people, because the seh, yeah, the sheep, is the god by the Egyptians, and to take it and slaughter it, and even put the blood on the doorposts, one had to be very strong and a real believer in order to do. So this gave merit to the Jewish people. More than this, one cannot bring the offering of Pesach unless he is circumcised. So the Jewish people were circumcised before too. So Hashem gave them two obligations that demanded tremendous self-sacrifice, because as an adult, to be circumcised is really self-sacrifice, right? And then to kill the gods of the Egyptians, gods, quotes and quotes, of the Egyptians is another act of self-sacrifice. So the Jewish people are starting to own things on their own. They are starting to get out of Egypt, not because Hashem does it, because he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they are taking part in it. Physically, Hashem will take them out. He will also motivate them to be able to start a spiritual journey in a few ways. A, Hashem showed them 10 plagues that obviously strengthens their faith and the understanding that Hashem runs the show and that he with them and he loves them and cares about them and choosing them over all other nations. Later on at the night of Pesach, in addition to the miracles that took place on this night, they experienced a tremendous high level of revelation that they did not deserve. So Hashem gives them a flavor. What does it mean to be redeemed spiritually? It was not their level, but it gave them a flavor, a taste of it, right? And they started the journey, their own journey, their part in it, by doing these two mitzvot. And as Yechezkel, the prophet, says, "Bedamaych chayi, bedamaych chayi, through your bloods, you gain life, spiritual life." Okay? And damaych is plural. Dam is the singular. Damim is the plural. Damaich means your bloods in the plural, the blood of the circumcision and the blood of the offering of Pesach that they put on their doorposts. Okay? So they are coming out of Egypt. Hashem does something very strange. Pharaoh finally, after a year of being so stubborn, told the Jewish people, leave. And he asked the question many times, but we are going to answer another answer today. Why was it necessary to give him 10 plagues? Obviously, with one plague or without any plague, Hashem can just take them out because he can't do anything. Why altogether to approach Pharaoh and ask him to let them go? So obviously, Hashem wanted Pharaoh to be the one to think that he is freeing the Jewish people, that it's his decision. And that's what the Torah tells us in the first verse in our week's portion. And it happened to be when Pharaoh sent them. From Pharaoh's perspective, he took them out. And why is it important? Because if Hashem would have taken the Jewish people out of Egypt without approaching Pharaoh, or just with one plague that would force him to do it, something will not happen that Hashem does want it to happen. After Hashem led the Jewish people out of Egypt, and as we said, he did it, he wanted them to do it on their own. So physically they are out, spiritually not yet. So Hashem tells them, go backwards towards Egypt. Don't enter Egypt physically, but go backwards towards Egypt, till Egypt. This God of the Egyptians that they encamped in front was on the border. Come till there. Physically, you are redeemed already. You are out of the border. But you went back. Now I want you, so to speak, via the actions Hashem says to the Jewish people, to be your own redeemer. I took you out physically. I gave you the motivation to start a physical journey. I'm sorry, to start a spiritual journey. Now I want you to redeem yourself spiritually. Stage number one, go backwards. Really, Hashem just took me out and now he tells me to go backwards. What does it mean? Most probably I don't deserve to be out. Total discouragement, total desperation and giving up. Crying, telling Moshe, why did you take us out in order to go back? Now it will be even worse because now we'll prove to Pharaoh that he can really do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to worry from anything. If after 10 plagues, we are lost and all he needs to do is, what he's going to do is gain back all of us as slaves. Now he'll be able to be really harsh because he doesn't have to be afraid of anything. They say no one will. They go back as we read before. That's a beginning of a spiritual journey. And the Midrash tells us, they said, En lanu ela divrei ben Amram. What we have in front of us is only one thing. What the son of Amram told us. Meaning no questions. No complaints, no hesitation. Moshe said, we are going backwards. A big, big step towards redeeming oneself. Because obviously they see in Moshe, the messenger of Hashem, and they believe that if Moshe says, obviously it's the words of Hashem, and they follow. It's against logic, yes it is. But they go backwards. And why does Hashem want them, in addition to gaining this level of trust and faith in Hashem, to go backwards? Because Hashem wants Pharaoh to follow them. He wants it. If Hashem would have taken the Jewish people from Egypt without Pharaoh's involvement at all, Pharaoh would not dare to go after them, right? But being that Hashem, so to speak, negotiated with him via Moshe for a whole year, and he was capable of withstanding all the plagues for a full year, even though they were horrible plagues. And it was clear that Hashem has control over everything. And he still argued, right, And at the last night, he was the one to tell them, go. Even after Moshe and Aaron and told them, leave. So if it's his choice, and he sees now that the Jewish people are going backwards, and he sent people with them because the Jewish people said, we are going for 3 days. So he wanted to ensure that they are coming after 3 days. And they saw after 3 days that they are starting to go backwards, and they came to Pharaoh and they told him what's going on, that they are lost. So obviously, Pharaoh will feel strong enough to follow them, and that's exactly what Hashem wanted. Very interesting. Now let's see how the Torah tells us about it. I want to have one more observation. Okay, so we are in page 369, verse number 5. We'll read what we just said. It was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants became transformed regarding the people. And they said, what is this that we have done, that we have sent away Israel from serving us? They thought they sent them. Right? And the proof is that they are lost in the desert. Let's go further. Okay, so he harnessed these people and he's coming after Bnei Israel. Okay? And if you look at the next page, the top of the page, 371. What is the Jewish people's situation now? Pharaoh is running after them. They listened without hesitation. What do we anticipate usually when we listen to Hashem fully and completely? And then things get difficult, even more difficult than they were before. It's human nature to say, I did so and so, and you are doing this to me, right? So let's see what's written. Pharaoh approached, the children of Israel raised their eyes, and behold, Egypt was journeying after them, and they were very frightened. This pasuk is very bewildering. Let's see. It starts with Pharaoh approached. Then it says, the children of Israel raised their eyes, and who did they see? Egypt was running after them. Why not Pharaoh was running after them? They saw before Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and they raised their hands, and they saw Pharaoh and the Egyptians. If the Torah said Pharaoh as meaning Pharaoh and his nation, so in both times it should have been Pharaoh. First time it's written Pharaoh, second time it says the king of Egypt. So Rashi brings the saying of our sages that to the Jewish people so was that the angel of Egypt was following them. As we know, every nation is led by a spiritual power that was assigned to lead this nation based on the words of Hashem, the directives of Hashem. And this angel stands for the spiritual essence of this nation. As we know, spiritually, the Egyptians were in a very low place. So when the Jewish people see that Egypt, the angel of Egypt is running after them, what the Torah means to tell us is that they feel that even though they came out of Egypt, they are not free of the way of thinking of Egypt yet. Egypt is running after them. Physically, they are free, but spiritually, they are not. And this frightens them. Otherwise, there is no reason for fear. They just saw such miracles. It's obvious that Hashem is with them. There is no reason here for physical fear, fear of the physical. It's a fear of the fact that Pharaoh is beyond them. That they see that even though they already did acts of self-sacrifice, they brought the Pesach offering after circumcising themselves, they went backwards, and still, it is not what it has to be. And they are determined to get there. So, what do they do? Let's see. They tell Moshe in the next pasuk. something that is very difficult. Okay. Verse number 10, we didn't finish it. Yeah, we did read it. Let's go to 11. They said to Moses, "There were no graves in Egypt that you took us to die in the wilderness. What is this that you have done to us to take us out of Egypt? Is this not the statement that we made to you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us be, and we will serve Egypt'? For it is better that we should serve Egypt than that we should die in the wilderness." Meaning, what they said is, we understand what's taking place. We see that we are spiritually not in the right place. But why did we go to Egypt altogether? To prepare ourselves for the giving of the Torah. Obviously, they are not ready. The culture, the way of thinking, the attitudes of Egypt are with us after we came out. So why did you take us out? And it's a very good argument, but there was no way to leave them there. Because if they would have been left there, in order to fulfill the covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, Hashem would have to do everything for them. It would have been already impossible for them to be able to do it on their own, even stage by stage. And as you see, Hashem does not rebuke them for saying what they said, because from their perspective, they are right. What Hashem tells them is, you will not see. Just don't worry, stand strongly, and see that Hashem will do a miracle to you, right? You see the Egyptian now, but it's the end. You won't see them again. What will make the difference? Again, we don't want Hashem to do it. If Hashem will do it, what did we gain? We said the whole purpose of Pharaoh running after them and then going backwards is in order that they will accomplish coming out of Egypt. And in this way, it will become something that we can do today too. Come out of our spiritual limitations. Day after day. So, what happens here? So, I want you to look at verse number 16. It's written the following. Hashem said to Moses, 15, Hashem said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Speak to the children of Israel and let them journey forth." Hashem tells Moshe, "Don't cry to me." What else should Moshe do? What do we do when the situation is such that we realize we cannot help? In truth, we never can help ourselves. Whenever we are helped, it's the doing of Hashem. But sometimes the situation is so difficult that it's very easy for us to realize that it's only Hashem who can take us out of it. It's not even a difficulty to realize that we cannot do it. It's only Hashem. And that's why we cry to Hashem. So here is a very strange reality. The Jewish people are in a place that it's clear that they cannot help. Egypt from the back, the sea in the front, on the two sides, animals. They see even the God of Egypt, the angel of Egypt, with them. All of them are united with their evil decision to follow the Jewish people, still not recognizing Hashem. And Hashem let it happen. So what should they do if not scream to Hashem? Hashem said, "No. Tell the Jewish people to walk into the sea." Again, what do we see? Hashem wants the Jewish people to do what it takes to redeem them. In a situation like this, what is necessary is self-sacrifice. Following without hesitation. Putting logic aside. Doesn't make sense for a nation to jump into the sea. There are elderly people, young children, mothers, sick people, limited people. Doesn't matter. Walk in the waters. And they walked till the water came to their nose. One more step and they are gone. And they don't hesitate. They go. And that's when the sea split. And that's what Hashem wanted. Because in this way, we come out of Egypt. Let's try to see what was accomplished by it. Obviously, total faith in Hashem. He said, we follow. We'll die. If this is his will, we are ready. You know, I told you the story already once. There was a person that was on the line to the gas chambers. And he had in his hand a piece of bread that he didn't get to eat yet on this day. So he got a piece of bread in the morning, right for the day. And he did not eat it yet. So he threw it to somebody that was not online. There were other people standing not far away, and it could reach them. Obviously, he doesn't need it anymore. He's going to die. Fine. It's an act of kindness. If a person can think about it at such a moment, it's unbelievable greatness. But people heard him saying something unbelievable. He said the following, up till now, I served Hashem with the idea of Potach et yadecha u'masbia lechol chai ratzon. I worked on believing that Hashem opens up his hand, and in this way he sustains this sustenance to every being, meaning every day. I didn't know I'll survive, I won't survive. I believed that if Hashem wants me to live, he'll sustain me. This was my way of serving Hashem. He says, now I cannot serve him anymore in this way. I was going to die. What's the following pasuk in the chapter? Sadiq Hashem bechol bracha. Hashem is righteous in all his ways. Now I'm serving Hashem with this understanding. Whatever Hashem does is righteous. Bechasid bechol ma'asav. Everything he does is an act of kindness. Even sending me to the chamber. This is coming from the people who jump into Yamsuf, from Avraham Avinu who jumped into the furnace, right? From Yitzchak who was going to the Akedah. So the Jewish people first achieved total understanding that whatever Hashem does is for the best. That's one thing. Second thing. The Jewish people went into the ocean. They know the covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So they knew that if Hashem will want, they won't all die here. How? Logically, there is no way. Right? And Hashem did it in a way that one would never anticipate. He didn't kill the Egyptians. He could kill all the Egyptians before they went into the Yam Suf. Right? He has endless ways to do it. And he doesn't have to take time. Right? But no. Hashem let the Egyptians follow them. And still the Jewish people believed that for Hashem there is no difference. If the Egyptians are after them, if there are animals on the right and on the left, if the sea is in front of them, there is no difference for Hashem between nature and miracle. Nature is a miracle too. So it's another thing that the Jewish people ingrained in themselves while following. And when a Jew does what he can and should, he doesn't make it happen. The results are Hashem's. Not only physically. The same way that Hashem took them physically out of Egypt, our spiritual achievements are also granted to us by Hashem. But Hashem made it so that he grants them only when we put effort in order to achieve them. It's not that our effort causes it. Jumping into the Red Sea is not splitting it. If we will try it out, it won't work. Right? But it worked for them. So obviously the achievement, the action happened by Hashem. But Hashem created the world in such a way that he made us partners. The effort we have to put. The third thing that the Jewish people achieved, and this is unbelievable, the Shira ends with Uvnei Israel alchu bayabasha betoch hayam. The translation is the Jewish people walked on dry land in the sea, right? Even though they were walking on the sea, not only did the water split, but they walked on dry land. And there were endless other miracles there. It's written that sweet water came down from the two walls of water that were on the right and on the left, so they could give to drink their children and themselves. That fruits grew out of the water and they could feed their children and themselves. Hashem chose them unbelievable love and care. The things that were not even necessary. Didn't take them that long to cross the sea, but everything was provided for this short journey. Unbelievable, right? But the great thing was that the Jewish people, and I'm interpreting the verse that I said before in a different way, the Jewish people, while walking inside the sea, felt the same as if they walk on dry land. Meaning, they were not overwhelmed by the miracle. Because for them, a miracle and nature were equal and the same. What is again an unbelievable level. We are working on it all our lives, and we don't know that we will get there even in our lifetime. But we are trying to get them to know that there is no difference between miracles and between nature. So going through the Red Sea was really an opportunity for the Jewish people to take themselves out of Egypt, to put the efforts themselves. And being that this was the case, their spiritual level became their own. And something that a person works on and it becomes his, it's his forever. And that's how the redemption from Egypt became the redemption for all generations. And what it means is that each and every one of us, in our own place, physically and spiritually, can bring ourselves out of the most difficult situations if we internalize the stories of coming out of Mitzrayim, understand what are the lessons that were taught here, and where was the effort put, right? And in this way, we really redeem ourselves. And when we redeem ourselves, we will also eventually bring the ultimate redemption. Because Hashem, so to speak, gave us a formula for redemption. And in fact, it's not only that the night of Pesach we have to see ourselves as if we came out of Egypt, but every day, as I said, we have to remember it. And the effect of coming out of Egypt is mentioned in the Torah 50 times. And we are told that it corresponds to the 50 Shabbatot that are in the year. And it's to tell us that every Shabbat is an opportunity to come out of Egypt, and it's easier on Shabbat than during the week. And why so? The first Shabbat that we observe is like the night of Pesach. Hashem gives us an elevation, an extra soul, and it's a gift. It comes from Him. We have to achieve it ourselves. But we get the flavor of it, the taste of it. And it motivates us to start working towards redeeming ourselves. So after Shabbat, we have a week. And in this week, we should take what we gained on Shabbat spiritually by observing Shabbat, but what we learned on Shabbat, by the fact that Hashem gave us an extra soul on Shabbat. We should take this spiritual elevation and make it affect the week. Internalize it and make it part of our being during the week. When this happens, we approach next Shabbat and we are on a higher level than the last Shabbat because we put work during the week. As a result, as a gift, Hashem gives us a higher elevation. The higher elevation is coming from Hashem. We cannot bring godliness into ourselves, but we prepare the vessel during the week. And we can contain more. So Hashem fills us up even more so. And then, utilizing it, we internalize it during Shabbat and get higher. So we move further and further and further via the Shabbatot of the year, right? And come out of Egypt again and again, again and again. But it's an unbelievable journey if you really do it right. Okay? So we come to the next Pesach, different than it became last year, because we put some effort in between. Now, what we gain is a gift. Like Hashem was the one to split the Red Sea. But being that we put effort, it becomes ours. It's considered that we redeemed ourselves and it will remain with us forever. Okay? So coming out of Egypt is an ongoing thing. Now, there is another lesson here in the journey of the Jewish people. After bringing the offering of Pesach and circumcising themselves, what happened? They went backwards. The Torah tells us, don't worry if you fall. To go backwards, part of the journey. As long as you're not happy with it, and you try to find ways that it will happen less frequently, that the fault won't be so deep. Again, if you put effort, Hashem will help you that you'll succeed in your journey. Don't worry. He's always there with you in the journey. That's what Hashem told Moshe. Don't scream to me and don't worry. Just be quiet and see what I am doing and understand it. Internalize it. That's basically what King David says in Psalms. Ani Hashem, we say it on Thursday, every Thursday. That's the song of Thursday. Anochi Hashem, amalcha meretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who elevated you from Mitzrayim. It's not written who took you out. Who elevated you. Coming out of Egypt is not just a physical journey. It's a spiritual journey. The first step I did. What am I requesting from you? Harchev picha, broaden your mouth, meaning open up your mouth, your vessel. Va'am alhem, and I'll fill it up. I'm the one who fill the mouth. But to what capacity? To the one that you opened it up. That you broaden it. That's basically remembering Egypt and coming out of it all our life. And that's why we have to remember it day after day. So I think we answered all the questions. It's a sad thing that Pharaoh is coming with us out of Egypt. That's it's Vayehi. and Hashem wanted Paro to be the one to send us. So he will think that it's his choice. And later on, when the Jewish people will go backwards, he'll think that he has the choice to run after them and bring them back. And this will give the Jewish people the opportunity to create this level of faith in Hashem and learn all the lessons that we said. Now we understand why Hashem didn't send them to the land of Israel right away. Hashem wanted them first to achieve greatness on their own. So the redemption of Egypt will be a redemption for all generations, still today. That's why he told them to go backwards. That's why he told them to jump into the Red Sea. And that's why the Torah also mentions, and that's the only thing we didn't yet answer, that Moshe brought with him the bones of Yosef. Our sages say that in the merit of Yosef, the Red Sea was split. Because what did he do? He invested in purity, everything and anything. Our sages say that the bad inclination is in its full strength, like the angel of Egypt who ran after the Jewish people, pushed Yosef to succumb to the wife of Potiphar. And supernaturally, he did not listen. So this power of self-sacrifice, of total investment on our side, creates the miracles, makes us the nation of Hashem, and makes us partners with him in bringing the world to where it is supposed to be. Okay, we'll end here and open up for questions and
before
answers.
Before we open up, the class is dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas, Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. We'll open up for questions. We'll open up. All right, you should be able to unmute yourselves.
Okay. Yes. Rabbi Tzin,
okay.
I don't see you. Yeah, question. You said the Jewish people were not, when they crossed the Yam Suf on dry land, they were not overwhelmed by miracles. They were not overwhelmed by what did you mean by that, and what does it do to to the class today? Going through the sea, their spiritual levels were their own, you said.
Okay.
Forever. I don't
okay,
understand.
Let me explain.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you didn't finish your question, so go ahead. So maybe I didn't
go
understand.
Go ahead. I was just reading the sentence that I wrote after that. They were not overwhelmed by miracles when they walked on dry lands. Going through the sea, their spiritual levels were their own, I wrote.
Okay, I'll explain it. If we see a miracle, we get really very excited. Let's
right.
assume the sun yeah. will not set today. Oh, it will make the headlines, even among the Jewish people, right? And we'll share it with everybody. We will be out of ourselves, right? They saw such a miracle. They were on such a level after the whole year of the 10 plagues and coming out of Egypt and all that they invested, right? Including the suffering in Egypt that purified them, that it became so natural to them.
Okay.
That everything comes from Hashem, that he didn't right. overwhelm them.
Right. So the
right.
obviousness of Hashem was like, they were not overwhelmed because of course they knew
everything
Hashem.
Is a miracle.
Right, right. Okay.
Right. Walking on dry land is not less than a miracle. If we think about it, this globe is standing on nothing. Right? We are surrounded just by air, by nothing. Outside of the globe, if you see us from space, what is air standing on? Nothing.
Right.
What are the stars leaning on? Nothing.
Nothing.
Right? So what's the difference? Just that to this we are used to it.
Right.
And we don't pay
right.
attention. And this is
right.
something that is a one-time occasion.
Right.
But it's not any different.
Right. They say the difference between nature and miracle. Nature, we're used to seeing it again and again and again. So we kind of assume, like, okay, it's nature, it's natural order of things. Miracles, the fact that they have, they are very rare, that makes us pay more attention, kind of. Okay, thanks.
Right. But think about it, nature is much greater because it's ongoing.
Ongoing, right.
What is easier, to pick up a heavy stone for a moment or to carry it all along? Right, but obviously Hashem created the world in such a way that we can take it for granted and not think. This is what enables us free choice and leaves room for becoming partners by developing this understanding and internalizing it.
Internalizing, right.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
See.
Okay. So have a good week. Next week, the class will be on Monday.
Okay,
If the
same
weather
time.
allows and everything is okay, so I'll be traveling on Tuesday to the States for a beginner session. So I'll give the class on Monday before I am on the journey.
Okay, I'll
Okay.
send out
See
an
you.
email
Thank
on
you.
Sunday.
Call to.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, follow your email. Yeah, just to make sure.
Very good.
Call to.
Okay,
Bye.
safe
Thank you.
travel.
Sure.
Be well.
You too.
Esther, you still there?